friends. I think you can see why I was so delighted to have Micah be one of, you know, one of our friends here, sharing his story, sharing his perspective. And we left off at really a very, very important part in his story of he's reflecting back in his youth as a child. And I'll, Micah, pick up, what is it that you were reflecting back in your, from when you were a child?
There was just this understanding that I felt I had because of the upbringing in my faith and realization of what I thought the truth of Jesus to be, you know, and this idea of if God came to redeem humanity and this story is true, then we're freed from the fear of death and we're freed from worry even. And so when something bad happens to you, which it's going to happen no matter who you are, where you are, there's freedom from the struggle of that in a way, or there's freedom from the, I guess, you don't have to be held down by your suffering forever. And there's a quote from a guy, Viktor Frankl, who says suffering ceases to be suffering the moment it finds meaning. And I think you can so often find meaning in your suffering when you start to open your eyes to the redemption and find ways that, like, okay, because of my particular suffering, what am I now able to offer to someone else? Or how am I better able to understand what other people are going through? Or just this idea of there's such mutual suffering in the world that we can really learn from one another, I think. And so often our struggles and difficulties and conditions even put us in a position to really offer some type of hope to other people, I think, to realize that, you know, you really don't have to let this victimize you or hold you down forever.
That's correct. The theological term is theodicy. That is this concept of suffering, and suffering in a particular way. How can a good God permit suffering? It was the point, it was one of the points that Augustine had in his struggles. He had been raised with, he had a Christian mother and a pagan father, and he became under the influence of Manichaeism, which is, it's not even a heresy, it's something other. And he couldn't figure out how could a good God prevent suffering. And it was during one of his, you know, in his reflection of his tremendous intellect, he realized that God doesn't cause suffering, rather he permits it. And that suffering was the, or evil, because, right, he's thinking that suffering in and of itself is an evil, and that this, that evil is a deprivation of a good. So what does that mean? That means that in a fallen world, I mean, he realized we have a fallen world, there is going to be suffering, but the goodness of God can draw a meaning out of it and a good out of it. And I heard so clearly your love of Christ, and it's the cross that gives us that assuredness that God can really draw something very beautiful out of something that is very, you know, could be terrible and horrific. Certainly the cross was the greatest evil ever, you know, certainly in your case, it was a pure accident, because we live in a world with, you know, bodies that get tired and tires that give way and rocks in the road and that sort of thing. And we would call those accidental not evils, or, you know, like hurricanes or something. That just comes with in a created world. But then there's the moral evil, where man makes a choice for good or for bad. But with Christ on the cross, he, you know, he was crucified. The creator was crucified by the creature. And that's the greatest evil. That who was pure love, the way, the truth, and the life, offering his life for the sinner who could offer nothing in return, but love and acceptance of that. And to my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was perhaps what allowed you to embrace or accept or overcoming your obstacle, right? The title of the show is because of the power of the cross.
Absolutely. I think that I had such a confidence in my faith and position as a beloved child of God that it gave me an overwhelming sense of peace, because I had an understanding and really believed it that, okay, I know this isn't like a curse from God. It's not Him disciplining me necessarily. It's Him allowing me to be used in a way as a vessel to bring heaven to earth, as an opportunity really where I can exemplify the power of the cross in my own life by showing that we don't have to be conquered by our obstacles. You know, we don't have to be held down by the evil of the world. Like
that is, I think that is just so, so tremendously powerful. Mm-hmm. And of all the many gifts that your parents gave to you, or perhaps permitted, because at some point you have to make a choice, the individual has to make the choice to accept a gift or to reject it. So your parents can provide a home and a witness and all of that. But at some point, Mike and Karen have to cross the threshold and say, I accept. It is now my position. And what a providence you had in giving you that faith, A, from your family, and then B, your own turn to accepting it. Mm-hmm. So that you were provided for in a very critical moment of your life.
Yeah. I feel so thankful for the year that I spent in Florida, because it was a pretty intense ministry school, really focused on developing spiritually, physically, mentally, and socially. Mm-hmm. And with the biggest importance being spiritually. And it focused so much on this idea of really understanding your belovedness. And so having that be the primary focus, it made it so easy for me to take this faith that had been shared to me by my family, my parents and sisters even, that to have this idea of there's a loving God like a father or mother, and then to be able to point to my parents and see this example of, you know, just good love. I felt healthy love from my parents, and it just made it so easy for me to make that connection of, oh, wow, like, this is absolutely true. Just looking back on my own life and the blessings that I've had and the fact that I'm still alive even now, it feels like just such a gift to me. And so it made it so easy for me to make that connection, I feel, of, okay, I am a beloved child of God. Like, God is my father. And if that's the case, what do I have to fear? You know?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Friends, we will pick up in the next episode. Till the next time, Fides et Ratio.